Good evening, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from the Unusual Paseah Clifton, continuing the Daf HaShavua Shir series. Tonight's Shir is on the Sechas Megillah Daf Yud, and the topic is naming our children after a Rasha. What's the connection of naming our children after a Rasha and the Gemara that we have? So if you look in Daf Yud on the Beis, already a quarter of the way down, the Gemara lists a whole series of psichos, or introductions, that the different Amoraim would give when they would teach Megillas Esther. And the reason why they needed this introduction explains Rabbi Shaya Pinto, whose commentary on Agadata is printed in Yaakov under the title The Rif, Rav Yoshia Pinto. And Rav Pinto explains the reason being, really the Iker story of Purim started with the appointment of Haman in the third Perek. That's the case, then why does the Megillah have the whole story of Ahasuerus and Vashti? And that's why, Pinto says, we have a long series starting on Yud Aleph Beis, going till Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, are different psukim and different psichos that the different Amoraim would give. One of the Amoraim mentioned towards the bottom of the daf, two lines from the bottom to be specifically, is an Amora named Rabba Bar Ofron. And the Gemara says, Rabba Bar Ofron, Pasuk LaPischa, Lahai Parshasa Mihacha, Rabba Bar Ofron would have, this is his introductory lesson to teaching Megillas Esther, V'samtich Isi B'ilom, V'avati Misham Melech V'sarim, Melech Zevashti, V'sarim Zehoman V'aseres Bonov, again, connecting the destruction of Vashti and the killing of Vashti to the killing of Haman. Interestingly enough, Tosfos tells us the following. Tosfos in the bottom of Yoram and Beis offers the following comment. Rabba Bar Ofron Garcina. This is the version of our text. Our text says Rabba Bar Ofron below Garcina and Ephron. That really the correct version of this rabbi's name is Rabba Bar Ofron and not Rabba Bar Ephron. So apparently there are other texts and other versions that had this Amora listed as Rabba Bar Ephron. Now what's the difference between saying Rabba Bar Ofron and Rabba Bar Ephron? Does it really not make much of a difference to us when we're learning the Gemara? So the truth of the matter, Tosfos says it actually does in a halachic sense. The reason is the Shem Rishoyim Yirkov, that the name of the wicked should rot. What does this mean? So this is a pasuk which refers to the fact that we want to obliterate the names of all the wicked people. We know Ephron, Achiti, and Chumash was a wicked person. He was somebody that, when dealing with grieving Avraham, and after promising him the Maris and Machpelah for free, not only did he go back on his word, but he overcharged him an exorbitant amount of money. Of course, Avraham Avinu, realizing the value of the Maris and Machpelah, it's worth any amount of money, it's worth any more amount of money than possibly can have, was able to overcome Ephron's evilness. But nonetheless, we see that Ephron himself was a wicked person. And because of this, we have this idea of Shem Rishayim Yirkov, that the name of Rishayim should rot away. And really what this refers to, of course, is literally that the memory of the wicked people should be rot away. We shouldn't be talking about wicked people. We have an opposite when it comes to tzaddikim. We say Zecher Tzaddik Levracha, that we want a tzaddik's name to be a blessing. But when it comes to the name of a wicked person, we want the name obliterated. We want that person's memory obliterated. And Tosfos points out and says, "Velo Masku B'Shemayhu," we don't even use their names. To which the Maharsha in Maseches Tanis tells us that this is such a strong thing that we don't even use their names. And we hope that by not using their names and through this use, so that's why that will obliterate what their names are, and that will obliterate their memory. Now, of course, we have the stories in the Chumash, and we learn their stories in the Chumash, and that's true. But that's only to teach us a lesson, meaning we can use the names of Rishayim when they have constructive purposes. But as far as honoring the memory of the Rasha, that we don't do, and that's why we don't name after Rishayim. Of course, first thing comes to mind when we daven every morning, and davening, we have a brisa which says, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, B'shlosh Esrei Midos HaTorah Nidrashas Bahem. And we know that Rabbi Yishmael, Kohen Gadol, was one of the greatest Amoraim Tanaim that we had. He was a Kohen Gadol, he was a Saru Gemalchus, But the reason why he was able to be named Yishmael is because we have a Kabbalah mentioned in Rashi and Chumash that at the end of his lifetime, Yishmael did tshuva. Where do we see that Yishmael did tshuva? We see that Yishmael did tshuva from the fact that after Avraham died, it says, Vayikbaru so Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav, that Yitzchak and Yishmael buried Avraham, with Yitzchak going before Yishmael, even though Yishmael was the older one. And the reason why that happened was that because Yishmael was mochel. Yishmael was mochel on his kavod and allowed Yitzchak to go ahead because he realized that Yitzchak was greater. Such an act of mechilas kavod is a sign that Yishmael had humbled himself to the point of doing teshuvah. So that's what we see, that Yishmael might be an exception. Question, though, comes up with Shlomo HaMelech. Because Shlomo HaMelech named his daughter Basmas. Now, who was Basmas? So we know Basmas was one of the wives of Esav. The Torah actually tells us, or Rashi actually mentions, that her name wasn't really Basmas, but the reason why she was called Basmas is because she was Maktir Besamim to Avodah Zarah. So clearly, such a person who brought Avodah Zarah into the house of Yitzchak, and this is the source of one of the Midrashim tells us of Yitzchak's blindness, that the reason why Yitzchak got blind is because of the smoke from the karbonos of his wives, namely Basmas. So this is the case, then how could Shlomo HaMelech name his daughter after such a wicked person? So the truth is, there are two answers brought down to this question. One answer brought down comes from the Sefer Meleches HaKodesh. And the Sefer Meleches HaKodesh tells us that we have a chiluk between a Jewish Rasha and a Goyish Rasha. That a Jewish Rasha, that's somebody who we don't name after. That person's considered to be a Rasha, we don't want to emulate them. As far as though a non-Jew, no. We don't even give them the credence of being a Rasha. And the fact is that because we don't even give them the credence of being a Rasha, it's like they never really existed so much. I mean, their evil existed, but them is, you know, in terms of a memory, it's not even there. It's almost like it's as the Lashon of the Sefer Meleches HaKodesh is Ge'en Ve'efes Tzato Neshavu Ve'enam Begeder Rishoyim Kla. That, in other words, we're only considering somebody to be a Rasha if somebody has got a potential to be a Tzaddik, to be a Jew. I mean, somebody's got a potential to reach the level of a Jewish Tzaddik. Somebody who's not, is what the Sefer Meleches HaKodesh gives. And this is a difficult teretz to understand, because on one hand, first of all, to negate the fact and say that really non-Jewish Rishayim are not really Rishayim, that's very hard to imagine as far as the Metzius is concerned. Furthermore, why would we be more machmir by a Jewish Rasha and not a non-Jewish Rasha? What do I mean? That we know we have a concept that Yisrael, afal pi shechata Yisrael, that Yisrael has a certain closeness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, is atanosin yod poshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a hand to the poshim. The doors of tshuva are always open. I would say just the opposite. If we're going to be more machmir on the name of a non-Jewish Rasha as opposed to a Jewish Rasha. Which is why the Sefer Yafei Lev disagrees with this teretz of the Meleches HaKodesh, and he offers his own explanation as to why Shlomo was allowed to name his daughter Basmas, and this will also give a geder, or a rule, in this Isser. What do I mean? So he says that we have to make a chiluk, we have to make a distinction between within non-Jewish names. You have non-Jewish names that have a certain connotation. And you have non-Jewish names that have pretty much no connotation or a negative connotation. Let me give you one example. That would be the example of the name Nimrod. Nimrod comes from the word, we will rebel. So that's a name that has two strikes against it. Number one, it's got a negative connotation. We will rebel is not a positive aspect at all. It has nothing positive to it. The second concept of it, the second aspect that Nimrod has, which is negative, is the fact that Nimrod himself was a person who got the world at that point to rebel against monotheism and to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nimrod was the person who, according to Chazal, threw Avram Avinu in the Kivshan Ha'esh and also killed Avram's brother Haran. Nimrod was the one who got everybody to build the Migdal Bavel by the Dor HaFlaga. So again, this is a person, this name has two strikes against it. But if you look at the name Basmas, Basmas, while the first person named Basmas might have been an evil person, nonetheless, Basmas itself comes from the word Besamim. And it happens to be a positive thing. We happen to have many people who are named after spices and stuff like that. Many modern Hebrew names are names of spices. So the truth of the matter is, as long as the connotation of the name itself is a positive connotation, so in that case, then, the name itself is not necessarily such a bad name. And it can be used. And that's what the Chiddush that Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us. That again, it's not necessarily the name, it's more, it's not necessarily the person, the Rasha, but it also has to do with the name itself. So if you have two things, two strikes, like the name Nimrod, which has the strike of a name and a person, so that we don't use. If it's just a person, like the name of Basmas, in that case, it's not going to be as much of an issue. And the truth of the matter is, if you don't say this necessarily, you have the question that there could be many people with names like Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov who end up being Rishoyim also. So, this is how the Yafei Lev addresses the issue. There happens to be another opinion brought down by the Mabit. And the Mabit actually takes this to an even further extreme. The Mabit has a shita and formulates this iser of Shem Rishoyim Yirkov, not naming after a Rasha, to the point where we don't even use the name of a person who lived before Avram Avinu. Now, again, not that everybody who lived before Avram Avinu was a Rasha. We happen to know that there were many tzaddikim who lived before Avram Avinu. But what the Mabit comes and tells us is that our names are so important, and it's so important for us to use names of tzaddikim, is that even there's only somebody after the Zera Avram started, after we entered the period of Klal Yisrael with the Avos HaKadoshim, that's when we start to use names. But anybody from that previous time, Mabit said we shouldn't use. Now, of course, we know that's not the case, and the Piskei Tshuva disagrees, and the Piskei Tshuva says that we don't follow this. And he gives two examples. One is famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says, Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer. Right? Akavya ben Mahalalel was one of the great Tanoim. He's mentioned in Pirkei Avos, he's mentioned in Edios. There's an Amora named Binyamin ben Yefes, who is also there. But of course, we've seen people named Henoch and Chanoch, and many people named Noach. So clearly, again, while the Mabit wanted to take this to the point where we're not even going to use names before Avram Avinu, the halacha and the practice is brought down by the Piskei Tshuva is not to follow this, and we can use names of people who lived before Avram Avinu. Now, one other aspect in this issue is brought down by, in Rav Zilberstein Sefer, one of the Harevna questions. And Rav Zilberstein wants to point out that it's not only if a person wanted to name after a Rasha Bedavka where we have an issue, but even if it happens incidentally or for a different reason, the issue would still come up. And the situation brought down by Rav Zilberstein is there was a well-meaning set of parents in Eretz Yisrael who did not have a tremendous amount of Jewish education at a particular time. What they did know, and what I guess they must have thought it was cute when they were going out and getting ready to get married, is that their names were Yitzhak and Rivka. And the other thing that they knew is that after their twins were born, they said, hey, you know what we'll do? Let's name our twins Yaakov and Esav the same way that the original Yitzhak and the original Rivka did. And again, not being a Talmud Chacham, this particular Yitzhak, it didn't bother him from the fact that, oh, he's naming after somebody of the caliber of an Esav HaRasha. He thought, hey, look what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to do the same thing in the Chumash. I think it's something very cute. You know, ultimately, Yaakov grew up to be a healthy baby, and the Esav ended up having some medical issues. And to the point where he needed to be hospitalized, and there was a frum nurse in the hospital who called up Rav Zilberstein and said, what am I supposed to do? I want to daven for this boy, but am I really supposed to be davening for a boy named Esav ben Rivka? And Rav Zilberstein gave two etzos. And the two etzos that Rav Zilberstein gave was like this. He said, remember what you said, absolutely not, you should not be davening for a boy named Esav ben Rivka. You could do one thing. You could say it in a more indirect fashion by going, for example, and saying, I'm going to daven for this children of, or the son of, this woman Rivka, who was very sick. And by doing that, you're accomplishing tefillah without mentioning the name Esav, or you can have somebody actually change the name. And to show that there is such a precedent of changing a name of somebody who's not a parent or not even that one person, so Rav Zilberstein brought down a case where there was a man who was engaged to be married, and it came time to fill up the ksuva. And they asked, the man's name, the chassan's name, was a man named George. Okay, so they said, George, that's a very nice name, but that's not a Jewish name. Could you please tell me what your Jewish name is? And George says, my Jewish name? Not a problem. He said, my Jewish name is Chaya Telba. And Rav Zilberstein looked up and said, Chaya Toba? Or actually, the Rav said, Chaya Toba. And he goes, yeah, my name is Chaya Toba. Now, the problem, of course, is that Chaya Telba is a girl's name. So, Rav was a little bit taken aback and a little surprised. At the same time, he said, I have to try to figure out what to do. So this Rav called up Rav Zilberstein, and he asked Rav Zilberstein, should I be using this person's female name in the ksuva or not? And Rav Zilberstein said, absolutely not. You don't use a feminine name for a boy. It's just not supposed to happen. And therefore, we should actually change this person's name. So what do they do? Well, it happens to be that the word Chaya is very similar to the word Chaim, so they took care of that. And the word Toba is really a Yona or a dove. So they changed it to Chaim Yona. So what do we see over here? We see from the fact over here that a person could change a name, if necessary, even if it's not the child's parents. Furthermore, we have one other example that when it comes to the Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu's name was not originally Moshe Rabbeinu. Or rather, Moshe Rabbeinu had many other names. But the fact is that Moshe Rabbeinu goes by the name that was given to him by Bas Paro. That shows that you could change a person's name as well in a situation of great importance. Namely, the case of the Ksuva, or the case of davening for little Esav ben Rivka. So, just to conclude, we pointed out that there is a concept, strong halacha concept, of Shem Rishayim Yirkov, that if we don't name after Rishayim, to the point where, if a person was given such a name, then what we have to do is we have to do our best to try to change that particular name. There is a little disposition that if the name of a person does at least have a positive connotation, to like Basmas, like Shlomo HaMelech, then at least you have somewhat of a heter. But the truth of the matter again is, we have many great tzaddikim which we can name after, and we should always look at naming and emulating a good person, as opposed to emulating the deeds of a Rasha. Have a wonderful day.